Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. One thing that is said in both our Old Testament reading and our epistle reading today is this little phrase, I saw the Lord. Can you imagine what it would have been like to see the Lord? Could you imagine what it would be like to see the Lord? Guess what? You don't have to imagine. Besides, imagining God has gotten a lot of people into trouble. There's been a lot of false visions and false dreams. For if the vision of the one true God isn't given to you by God, then who gave you that vision? And what kind of vision is it? You may want to put that vision on a 10-foot pole and stick it out for the garbage men of Maryville to pick it up on their way by next time. To the prophets of old in the Old Testament, God gave true visions. To us today, God has given us His true word and sacraments. We live by faith, not in our vision, but in the Christ of the Word, and that which is written in God's Word, which reveals who God is by His Spirit. A vision of your own, and by the making of your own will, is nothing and inaccurate. But a vision found in God's Word and Spirit by a soul and body baptized by holy baptism, baptized into seeing, you might say, is not only useful and accurate to a T, it's also beautiful and glorious to eternity. For just as Jesus said in our gospel today, unless one is born again by water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And notice when he's talking to Nicodemus in that text, he keeps saying, we speak of what we know. Unlike I or something else, Jesus refers to what we speak of. So now, what is it like to see God, truly? No imagination here, just here. In Isaiah chapter 6, we heard a vision given to Isaiah when he was called to be God's servant. He said, I saw the Lord sitting up upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. In this vision given to Isaiah, God is in a temple. That's where you see him. God is seated on a throne, high and lifted up. And God is clothed in a robe, the throne of which, or the train of which, fills the temple. You see, God is not a nebulous cloud. He is not Mother Nature. God is here the Holy One on a throne in a robe of royal greatness and majesty within a holy space. Above him stood other angelic beings called seraphim. Each had six wings. With two they covered their eyes, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew, three sets of two. And these called to one another and said, Holy, 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 three holies. Holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So there is one royal being and three holies to describe him. One and three. And his glory is everywhere present. Before God in this vision, Isaiah felt lost and condemned. He even confessed his unworthiness to stand before the high and lifted up God. Woe is me, he said. I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people with unclean lips. When you realize how great and real God is, you become increasingly sensitive and self-reflective of every word you've ever spoken, whether good or evil, blessing or curses, and you assess the world to be in the same boat as you are, unclean. We've all not spoken well of God and of all things. We've not spoken perfectly as we should about our neighbor, especially our neighbor in need, those whom we love. We don't love as God is loved. If God is judging based on the law, we're all lost. That's what Isaiah felt to stand before God. Based on the law, oh Lord, I know what I was expected to do. I didn't do it. I'm unclean, and I live amongst a bunch of people who are also unclean. But then we see in this vision God's character, don't we? His divine gift for Isaiah, and a promise that is for you and for me. Something from the altar was taken and carried by the seraphim, and it touched Isaiah's mouth, his lips. And he heard in his ears, "Your sin is atoned for. Your sin is taken away." You can't help but see the pattern here of what God does for us even now, and what he'll do for Jessica and for Tiana, for Matthew and for Jonathan. God takes something from the altar, and behold, he touches your lips. And what does he say about that gift? "This has been given for you for the forgiveness of sins." What God did in the Old Testament for Isaiah is what he did through Christ Jesus in the New Testament, and gave us an enduring gift that we can behold and see God as he truly is and how he wants to relate through us through the forgiveness of sins. Even though we're sinful, even though we live in the midst of a people with unclean lips and lives, God chose to dwell with you and for all through the gift of the sacrament, through the gift of his forgiveness, so that we can know God as he truly is. So, they join us today to see the one Lord high and lifted up, the three holies about him, the Lord of hosts. They follow the pattern of the Old Testament to know God as gracious and merciful to sinners like Isaiah and us. God wants us to know him as he is, one in three, holy, holy, holy. The fullness of his divine majesty has been revealed, and he gives gifts to touch our lips so that we know that his mercy is real. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the same in the Old Testament as he is in the New. We need not envision him to be something other than what he has revealed himself to be. For which would you rather look at? The Mona Lisa as painted by Leonardo da Vinci or by Pastor Roberts? Which version would be most precious and adoring? I'm not that good of an artist. Since God is one and yet three persons, we may believe and doubt it not from his word, because who can say to the painter of the original, "That can't be right. It doesn't fit my reason or my senses"? The painter will laugh and say, "Are not my thoughts greater than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways, says the Lord." So what do? We marvel at the confession of the Holy Trinity. We don't have to figure it out. We simply receive that which God has revealed himself as he is. One God in three persons, equal in majesty, co-equal, co-eternal, all the things we confess in the creed about which is revealed in the scripture by Jesus and his wording, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One name, three persons. We confess, we marvel that God has chosen to dwell with sinners like us, imperfect, not holy, and yet holy and perfect by God's declaration that our sins are forgiven. Taste and see that the Lord is good, that his mercy does endure forever. Simply marvel at the vision, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart God is triune. God is holy. God is forgiving. Pray praise and give thanks. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.